Okay, good morning. My name is Pastor Mark. It's wonderful to be with you on this Lord's Day as we worship and glorify God together here at UCG. Just want to welcome you if you're in our live stream audience this morning from home. We're glad you are here as well. And just a couple of quick announcements as we get started. As Greg mentioned, our youth met last night. I don't know, it's the first time in a long time that they've met. I'm not exactly sure how long it's been, but at least through the pandemic, and we were so encouraged to have that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragements for that. We're gonna hit that again in February, and then hopefully in March, get to twice a month. So kind of baby stepping here for getting things restarted. Also, just to say, we pray for Monica Yanez, our music leader. She's out now with maternity leave, so we could keep she and Danny and Chloe in our prayers in this special time for their family. And I'm thankful for Eber and for Sarah leading our music today. And finally, let me just note this, that we've got a couple of staff members and some of our church leaders who are out right now with COVID. So probably you're experiencing this maybe in your workplace too. Like Greg said, a lot of people are getting sick right now. So thankfully, we've got COVID ranging from no symptoms to kind of flu-like symptoms. So everybody's okay, it seems like, but they're just sidelined at the moment. It is affecting our workflow a little bit at the church, and you might experience some of those interruptions, but we just pray your grace and just to work with us through that. And, you know, we're just going to, this is the new normal, I think, for this season, and we're just going to have to kind of work through that together. And as a reminder with that, you know, if you are sick or think you might be sick or you're positive with COVID, just stay home and watch us on the live stream. So, y'all, I think everybody gets that now, but just as a reminder. All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get to work in our sermon. Father God, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for the beauty of the church, and that we can join together as a family of faith to worship you and to glorify you and to grow in you, Lord. I pray that we would find encouragement today, Lord, that we would we would hold each other accountable as we walk in this journey of faith. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight. And we thank you that you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Question for you. Have you ever had one of these experiences where you're out somewhere and you see someone, maybe you see them across the room, maybe they're checking out in a store, and you see them and you think you know them. And so you go and you say hi to them because you think maybe you know them, but then it turns out you were wrong and you didn't actually know this person, and it's kind of awkward, right? Is that just me? I see a couple of heads nodding there, right? Sometimes I think that happens to us spiritually, or it can happen to us spiritually, that we think we know him, we think we know the Lord, but then we really don't. Or we may not know him as we think we do. And so today, we are thinking about knowing God, and what does it mean to know God? And that's going to be a series we'll be in for the next month here at Union Church, knowing God. What does it mean to know God? And to think about things like, do you know him? Or do you just know him from a distance? Or do you just know him through other people's experience, but not really your own? These are important questions that we're going to be asking ourselves here, still at the beginning of the year, right? We're still in January today, so still at the beginning of this year. How are we doing with knowing God? Are we growing at this time? Are we growing in our knowing of God as Lord of our life? Do we know God more now than we did a year ago at this time? Or has our faith kind of stagnated? So these are things we're going to be thinking about in this series. And we're going to be looking at some different dimensions of who God is and what that means for us as we know him and as we grow in our knowing of him. It's really amazing if you think about it that we can even know God at all. I mean, he's the one who flung the stars into the heavens. He's the one who was there before time began. He's the one who'll be there when time ends. He's the one who holds the world in his hands. And yet, he invites us to know him and to be in a living relationship with him. And so, how are we doing in our knowing God this year? In the book of Hosea from the Old Testament, God says something really, really profound through the prophet. And in Hosea 6:6, God says, I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. And I think this is kind of code language, if you will, that God is using. He's saying, I want to know you more than I want you to do stuff for me. I want you to know me more than I want your money. I want you to know me more than I want your offerings or your worship or your obedience. And all of those are very important things. But I think what this is telling us is that God really wants to know us. He wants us to be growing with him and in him. That is the most important thing that he wants from us. He wants us to know him. So that's important. He wants us to know him above all of these things. And so are we growing in our knowing of God this year? We'll be talking about that question as we track through the series. But for now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. Today, we're talking about knowing God as Lord. And our text is from Luke 6 and verses 46 through 49. Luke 6, 46 through 49. And Luke writes this. This is Jesus speaking to some people around him, to his friends around him. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, here in this text, we have Jesus. He's describing himself as Lord, and he's acknowledging that there were people around him at that time, friends, admirers, followers, and they also were calling him Lord. And he's connecting that knowledge of him as Lord to a couple of things in this passage that I want to draw out a little bit today. You know, Jesus is many things, the Bible says. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd. He is our Savior. He is our friend. But ultimately, the Bible says that he is King of kings and he is Lord of lords. And he is the Lord over this earth. He is the Lord over the nations. He is the Lord over the most powerful people that you can think of on this earth. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And he invites us to know him as Lord. And what does it mean for us to know him as Lord? Well, from the text today, what I want to do is to draw out two things. One is a challenge from the text, and the other is a comfort from the text that we find in Luke 6, 46 through 49. So the first is a challenge. If we know him as Lord, Jesus says that those who call him Lord should be aiming to build their house on the rock. All right, to build their house on a firm foundation. So if we call him Lord, we should be looking to build our house, the house of our faith, on a strong foundation. And he likens this kind of as a metaphor to taking hold of his word and to doing what it says. If we call him Lord, if we build our house on the rock, then we are grasping hold of his word and we're doing what it says for us. If we know him, it means we'll get serious about his word and we'll get serious about putting his word into practice in our lives. And Jesus compares that to digging the foundations of a house. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've dug a foundation for a house before, right? I think it's probably a lot of hard work. Where I'm from in the U.S., most of the time that work is probably done by a machine, you know, a digger. But it's still a lot of work, right? And here, I think there tends to be more work done by hand, and that is certainly hard work to dig a foundation for a house. Here at the church, you may have noticed over the past few months, there's been some digging going on, and that's some work in the foundation of the church, and it's all been done by hand, and it looks like really hard work. So, you know, digging foundations is not easy. And when it comes to things like home improvements and home renovations, I prefer to do things that provide instant gratification. Like, I would prefer to paint the room, right, or to put some new flooring down in the room than to dig a foundation, because digging foundations is hard. I like to do something, you can come in and one day you can paint the walls, and right there the work is done, and you can see that the work is done. But digging foundations takes time, and it's hard work. And Jesus he's drawing this analogy that digging foundations is like taking hold of his word and putting his word into practice. And he recognizes, you know, our human nature, because of sin, means that, you know, we're not naturally wired to do what he's saying we should do, to take hold of his word and to put it into practice, right? But because of our sin nature, we don't naturally find it easy to do what Jesus says. I mean, does anyone here find it easy to do what Jesus says? Maybe you in the back there, right? Well, you can teach us some, right? Thank you. But for most of us, it's hard to do what Jesus says. And because of our nature, right? We are wired to do what we want to do. We don't want anybody telling us what to do with our life, how to live our life, what we should do, what we should say, what we should do with our money, what we should do with our careers. We don't want to be told how to speak or how to behave by our nature. We don't want anybody telling us what to do or where to go. But if Jesus is the Lord of our life, then he has authority over even these things in our life. And he is saying to us that if he is the Lord of our life, that we're going to have to pay attention to what he says in his word. And we're going to have to pay attention to putting that into action in our life. We have to get serious about these things. You know, and how are we doing with that? How are we doing with that this morning? And he says, if we are to be serious about putting his word into practice, then we will know him as Lord. And the challenge, like I said, is it's not so easy to do that. And even an additional challenge with this is that sometimes it doesn't make sense. What Jesus tells us to do may not make sense. And again, with our human nature, when something doesn't make sense to me, I tend to just want to do my own thing, to do what I think is right or what I think is needed. But if you think about it, like you think about Peter, for example. Peter stepping out of the boat to walk on water. Jesus invited him to step out of the boat and to walk on water. And I don't think it was easy for Peter to do that. And I don't think it probably made a lot of sense to Peter to do that. But by faith, because he acknowledged Jesus as Lord, he stepped out of the boat to walk on water. Jesus gave him the word, and Peter put it into practice. And I don't suppose it was easy for Noah to build an ark right there in his front yard, to build a boat in his front yard, in front of his neighbors and in front of his friends when there was no sign of a coming flood. But he took hold of God's word, and he did what it said in his life, because he acknowledged God as Lord. And I don't suppose it was easy or that it made much sense for Abraham to take his son, his only son, his beloved son, Isaac, to the mountain and to prepare him for sacrifice. But this is what God's word told him to do, and he was obedient to taking hold of God's word and to put it into practice in his life. I mean, how easy is it for us to bless people who may have stabbed us in the back? It's not easy. It's not easy. We would rather retaliate in kind if it were up to us. How easy is it to bless people who are not kind to us? How easy is it to submit to authorities, right? Jesus tells us even to pray for them. But how easy is that when sometimes we don't even feel like they have our best interest at heart? How easy is it to give away our money in response to Jesus' teaching on money and belongings and generosity? Because for so many of us, we look at our monthly budget and we say, there's just not enough to go around. So how easy is it to do what Jesus says in that case? How easy is it to believe that God will answer our prayers for healing when maybe we've never experienced that in our life, yet his word says this is true? You know, a lot of the stuff that Jesus asks us to do, it doesn't make sense. And it certainly is not easy to put into practice. But he says when we do acknowledge him as Lord, when we do take hold of his word and begin to put it into practice in our life, that it is like digging a foundation for that house. It's hard work, but it establishes us on the rock, and we will be able to hold fast no matter what flood, no matter what calamity comes our way. And y'all, I think in a way, this is why we need one another, right? Sometimes I use that language that, you know, we need one another and we need the Lord. We need one another because these things are hard, and I need you to encourage me, right? I need you to cheer me on. I need you to hold me accountable, and you need me to do the same for you. We need each other in this journey because it's hard to take hold of God's word and to put it into practice in our life. And how are we doing with that, right? Is that something that we share with other people? Do we invite people to have that privilege in our life to cheer us on, to encourage us, to hold us accountable? How are we doing with that as we do these hard things? The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. And he's pursuing us. He wants these things in our life, not just because he wants us to call him Lord, but because he is for our good. He wants these things for our life, for our own good, to guide us and to protect us in our journey of faith because he loves us. Because he loves us. But it's hard. It's hard. It's a struggle. It's a challenge to take hold of God's word and to put it into practice in our life. But when we do so, we're digging a strong foundation of faith for our lives. That's the first challenge, or that is the challenge of this passage today. The second thing I want to talk about from the passage today that we take from the passage is the comforting part. So we've got the challenge and we've got the comfort. And it is this. When we know Jesus as Lord, when we acknowledge him as Lord, when we take hold of his word and put it into practice in our life, then we will have a deep and lasting peace in our hearts. That's the comfort of this passage, right? We will have less fear and less anxiety, and we will have a deep and lasting peace. Now, you know, every time there's a circumstance that arises in our life that is out of our control. Maybe it's a crisis. Maybe it's a financial loss. Maybe it's a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe it's a relational issue. Maybe it's a problem at school for your kids. Maybe it's a problem for you at work. Whatever it may be, you know, when we have a crisis that's beyond our control, to some extent, this becomes for us a crisis of faith. It's a crisis, but it becomes a crisis of faith. And we have to really consider what place, what role God has in that crisis at the moment. Is he in control? Or has God lost control in our life? Is he sovereign over these things, or is he not sovereign any longer? These are things we're faced with when we have circumstances out of our control in our life. And the Bible says that one day that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, that day will come. Every human eye will see that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the truth is that in this moment, his sovereignty and his lordship is harder to see. It's harder to see, and we have to take it on faith. One day it will come when his sovereignty will be completely clear to see. But in this moment, we have to take these things on faith. Now, you know, we just celebrated Christmas, about a month ago? We celebrated the birth of Jesus, and, you know, he was born as a little baby, but we also know that he was, at the same time, he was born as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the Christmas story, one of the interesting things that you note is that most of the people in the Christmas story don't get this. They see a little baby, but they don't see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's only a few people in the story that get this. For example, the shepherds and the wise men are notable examples of people that kind of could see beyond the little baby that something bigger was going on here. But it's really hard to see Jesus' sovereignty with human eyes in this moment. And so, you know, what happens is that when we have these circumstances in our life that go on, when we feel like things are, you know, we feel like things are out of control, feel like things are going very badly for us, it then feels to us as if God is not sovereign. It feels to us like God has lost control of what is going on in the world and in my life. And when we feel that way, the result will be rising fear and anxiety in our life. You know, one really easy way to think about this is like with COVID, right? For the last 2 years, COVID, it's been very frustrating. There have been times that it's brought fear and certainly anxiety into our lives. And, you know, where is God in this difficulty? Where is God when it seems like the world has gone mad? And it causes fear and it causes anxiety. And we've certainly seen that in the season of COVID. But the truth is this, that God is in control. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And the more we know him as Lord, and the more that we believe on his sovereignty, the more peace that we will have in our hearts. That is a truth. The less fear, the less anxiety that we will experience. God never loses control because he is sovereign and because he is Lord. Now probably the best example of this is in the cross of Jesus. In the cross of Jesus. You think about that for a moment. I mean, at the cross of Jesus, it seemed like in that moment that God was not in control, that God was not sovereign over these things. You think about the disciples. The disciples, did they stand firm in the faith? No. They scattered. They ran away in fear, and they felt like God was not in control of this moment. All their hopes and dreams were dashed. You think about Pilate. Pilate didn't think God was in control. He thought he was in control, right? He was the one to put this Jew to death. Or you think about the religious authorities. They didn't think God was in control. They thought they were in control. They had stirred up the crowd so that the crowd called out to free Barabbas, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. They got what they wanted. They felt like they were in control. Even Satan, father of lies, he thought he was in control, right? He didn't think God was in control. Look, right here, he's destroying God is what he thought in that moment. He had finally succeeded. And so think about it. Was God in control in that moment, or was he not in control in that moment? Well, what we know clearly is that, in fact, he was in control. The Bible says that Jesus chose to lay down his life. Jesus could have commanded armies of angels to come and to
whisk him away and to preserve his life, but rather he chose to give his life into the hands of men in order to save many, so that we could have salvation in his name, so that we could have reconciliation with God, so that we could have a relationship with God. God never lost control, not in that moment, and not in your life. Now this theological issue of sovereignty is a massive issue. It's a complex issue, and we're just scratching the surface today. And so, I'm not trying to answer all the questions about this today, but simply with that said, the truth is that we see from Scripture is that God is sovereign. He is Lord. He is King of Kings. He has never lost control. Now, having said that, does that mean that every single thing that happens in your life is his plan for your life? Well, I don't think so. He is sovereign. But he has given you freedom, right? He's given you freedom to make really good choices, and he's also given you the freedom to make some lousy choices, which some of us have made from time to time. He has given us that freedom, and that doesn't mean that he is out of control or that he is not sovereign. That is still within his sovereignty. The thing about him being the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, that he is so great, that he is so powerful, that he can't allow us freedom to live our life, to make decisions, even decisions that he would probably not want us to make. He's given us that freedom to do so, but he is still sovereign. And he is so sovereign that even when we screw things up, even when we fall flat on our face, these things are not beyond his reach. They are not beyond his grasp to take them and to use them for his purposes and for our good. You know, you think about that. Joseph from Genesis, you know, he said he had been sold into slavery. And then when he was reunited with his family after being abandoned, you know, he said that you meant this for harm. You know, his brothers did mean that for harm, but God used it for good and to save many people. Even those evil things were not outside of God's reach and God's grasp to redeem them. He is sovereign. He is in control, and he can use anything, intended or not, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. He can do that. He is that big of a Lord, and he is that great of a King. Now, his ways are not our ways, and that means that we're never going to understand like everything about this. There is mystery to God, and some things we just have to chalk up. I can't totally understand everything about God, but if we know him as Lord, and if we trust him as King of our life, then what we do know with certainty is that the fear and the anxiety will recede, and that his peace will dwell deeply in our hearts. How are you doing with that in this moment? Do you want more peace? Do you want more peace in the face of uncertainty? Do you want more peace in the face of difficulty? Do you want more peace in the face of challenging circumstances, difficult relationships, crises you may experience at home or at work? Do you want more peace when things are really messed up? I do. I do. And therefore, we must press in. We must press in to knowing God as Lord, to grasping his word, and to putting it into practice in our lives. And then we will know his peace as a reality for our lives. Do you know him? Do you know him as Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this day for your love for us. We thank you that even though it seems the world has gone mad, that you are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have your purposes for our good. And even the broken things of this world, Father God, we believe that you can take, and they are not out of your reach to use for our good and for your glory. And we thank you for that. And I pray that that truth today would bring peace deeply within our hearts in the midst of a difficult and uncertain world. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.